As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again, "Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." Pilate asked them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. And they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he's calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was God's son." the passion of our Lord. Praise to you, Christ. I've had a lot of questions lately. Maybe you read my article in the Evangel last month that was really just a bunch of questions. It's often a small child whose curiosity and questions can become overwhelming. How many times can you be asked why before you no longer want to answer the question? But maybe I'm feeling a bit like a child, trying to make sense of the world around me, trying to understand how we continue to move forward in this ever-changing landscape. One thing is for certain, I don't feel alone in my questions. Pilate has questions. Jesus has a heart-wrenching question. And we should all ask ourselves, how do you go from shouting Hosanna to shouting crucify him in such a short amount of time? The highs and lows of these days for the disciples are almost impossible for us to understand. We know that it's going to get bad. Jesus will die, but we know that this is not how the story ends. Jesus' disciples don't seem to have that luxury. For them, death means death, and no one survives the cross. They have seen Jesus' last breath. They have their own inability to stay awake and their own denial and desertion to deal with. How can anything good come from all of this? They are stuck for 3 days that had to feel like a lifetime. This year has given me a different perspective on how the disciples felt. Remember back a year ago when we were told to stay home for 2 weeks and all of this would be over? It feels a whole lot like Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We can do this. We can stay home and save lives. But 2 weeks turned into a month, turned into a year and counting. And as we have seen the number of deaths rise around our nation and world, we have moved from palms into passion. People have tried to make sense of who got severely sick and who seemed to get away from the virus seemingly unscathed. People have tried to figure out how to visit loved ones and have moments of normalcy when everything has seemed so strange. Some have continued to lock down much like they did those first 2 weeks, while others have moved on as if it were all a dream. And I think the truth of it is it's been exhausting for all of us. And even though we may have answered some of the questions that we had, we now seem to have new questions to ask again. We know that this year has also been filled with racial tension across our nation. The recent killing and attacks on people of Asian descent can make us wonder if these divisions will ever end. The voting laws that are being passed in many states are nothing short of suppression, and some have likened them to a new kind of Jim Crow. Can we find a way to come together as a nation in the midst of all of these tensions? In Mark's gospel, Pilate seems a bit frustrated. He can't get an answer out of Jesus. I think he wants an answer that will make his decision easier, but he isn't given that answer. Even when he finds Jesus not guilty, the chief priests and the crowds have other plans. Even when Pilate asks one final question, why? What evil has he done? Instead of an answer, he gets a more fervent cry from the crowd of crucify him. So the events that began to unfold with Jesus' betrayal continue in an ominous direction. In Mark's gospel, the moments on the cross should make us remember the time that Jesus spends in the desert being tempted by the devil. He's alone. Those who passed by derided him. The chief priests and scribes mocked him. Those crucified with him taunted him. They all seemed to want Jesus to seize power for himself, or at least create some spectacle that they can cheer on. They were all acting as the tempter in the vulnerability on the cross. In this darkest of moments, Jesus cries out with a question of his own, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's a moment that is heartbreaking, and we can wonder and ask why. Why did it have to end this way? So our world today may feel a little bit like Holy Saturday, the time between death and resurrection, that time when it seems as if death has won and there is nothing new that can happen. As we start to emerge from all the COVID restrictions, I think we still will have a lot of questions. But we will also learn what it means to move from what was into what is. We may even have a sense of what it means to move from death into life. I pray that we can all continue to ask questions. I pray that we can, at some point down the road, reflect on this time and learn from it. I pray that as things slowly return to normal, that we will ask, what needs to change? What needs to change in our community? What needs to change in our church family? What needs to change in our relationship with God that we know through Jesus Christ? What simply can't stay the same because we now know something different? I'm all for these questions being asked both in Scripture and in our lives. These questions will hopefully lead us to some new understanding, and I'm sure more questions. What I know is this, that the disciples weren't stuck on Holy Saturday. And we're not stuck here either, even if it feels like it. The disciples would eventually experience the joy of an empty tomb. We will eventually experience the joy of getting past this virus. In the meantime, let us dwell in these moments where we may have more questions than answers. But let us turn to the truth that we know that Christ died for you and for me. And that death never has the final word. Amen.